Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. Welcome to the September 27, 2019 Quadcast. First up, West Side Story. Local recurrence rates of rectal cancer are so low following neoadjuvant chemoradiation and total mesorectal excision, some people are talking about foregoing the TME part altogether. Quite the opposite, many Eastern countries feel surgeons should go even bigger. When local recurrences do happen, they can be predictable, such is the case with patients with enlarged, greater than or equal to 1 centimeter obturator and internal iliac lymph nodes in the quote-unquote lateral compartment, which, as many of you know, isn't dissected with a standard TME operation. Enter Team East, including Japan, embracing lateral node dissections to effectively mitigate risk of lateral recurrence. Team West, including the U.S., counters that the small absolute benefit in cancer control doesn't merit the added surgical morbidity, which is primarily nerve damage. When things got heated, in lieu of a dance-off, which I think we all believe would have been more enjoyable, the Lateral Node Study Consortium, what a name, was born. Among 741 patients treated at 10 centers across hemispheres, 90 received lateral node dissection per institutional standards. Looking at all 96 patients who had a lateral node greater than 7 millimeters on upfront MRI, the lateral recurrence rate was 19% versus 4% otherwise. That's not the crux of the study. Lateral node response on pre-op post-chemoradiation restaging MRI was the real tell. Lateral recurrences happened to 0% of those whose lateral nodes shrunk below the median, less than or equal to 4 millimeters on short axis. 10% with obturator nodes greater than 4 millimeters, and over half at 52% with internal iliac nodes greater than 4 millimeters. And finally, Team East will have you know that a lateral node dissection dropped that last rate from 52% to 9% at 5 years. So what's the bottom line? Persistently enlarged internal iliac lymph nodes on pre-op restaging MRI for rectal cancer may call for a more aggressive nodal dissection, thanks to Ogura in JAMA Surgery 2019. Up second, outcomes with a twist. In the Phase 3 ENGOT OV16/NOVA trial, I really believe sometimes people just come up with the most difficult trial names to remember. Anyway, in this Phase 3 study, maintenance therapy with a PARP inhibitor, niraparib, significantly improved median progression-free survival for patients with recurrent ovarian cancer with or without BRCA mutations. The median progression-free survival for these patients that had a BRCA mutation improved from 6 months to 21 months with niraparib. If you didn't have a BRCA mutation, the progression-free survival improved from 4 to 9 months. While impressive, critics question how much stock we should really be putting into the popular and quick-to-measure progression-free survival endpoint. This secondary analysis by Matalonis in JCO 2019 aimed to measure time without symptoms or toxicity, aka TWIST, as a novel endpoint with inherent value. Quantifying this was really quite simple. TWIST equals mean progression-free survival minus time with toxicity. The latter is measured as the area under the Kaplan-Meier curve for symptomatic toxicities prior to disease progression, such as time with toxicities that can be chalked up to treatment rather than disease. What you're left with is life free from progressive disease and treatment side effects, which is inherent goodness. The mean, not median, benefit of progression-free survival with niraparib was a whopping 39 and 16 months for the cohorts with and without BRCA mutations, respectively. And the times with toxicity were only 3 and 1 months, respectively. Therefore, the twist benefits with niraparib were roughly 3 years and 1 year with and without BRCA mutations. The only question that remains is, does asymptomatic radiographic progression equal inherent badness? Probably not, unless overall survival outcomes mature in line with progression-free survival. The bottom line is, look out for TWIST as the newest surrogate endpoint in oncology clinical trials. Next up, just snippet. No, we're not talking about vasectomies, we're talking about SNPs. Single nucleotide polymorphisms. They're those little variants in our DNA that companies like 23andMe use to tell us if our pee smells like asparagus for only $199. A lesser known feature is the ability to research your raw SNP data. Just enter the SNP and explore. The possibilities are endless. Hence, this study by Tang in Radiotherapy Oncology 2019 showed that an IL-4 variant is associated with risk of severe radiation pneumonitis. Patients with CT or TT genotype are at standard risk per dosimetric factors like V20 and mean lung dose. On the other hand, patients with the CC genotype were at significantly increased risk of pneumonitis independent of V20 and mean lung dose. Finally, freshly minted. The data indicating that exposure to the FDA-regulated known carcinogen mint oil extract, Pulgon, rhymes with mule gun, is as much as 1,000 times higher for users of menthol-flavored e-cigarettes than for users of regular old menthol cigarettes, thanks to JAMA, JAMA Internal Medicine, 2019. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.